Nearly got a try on that left-hand side. What happened?
Oh, but I've gone up and over and bloody head over biscuit. It wasn't enough stability there for myself, but no, I was busting for a bit of meat this game. It didn't seem to work out.
Hello, cheers, and welcome once again to the Scrum of the Earth podcast, the weekly show that brings you news, results, great interviews, and just so much more, all about the World Rugby Union. As always, I am David Lawrence. I'm an American rugby fan who follows the game all over the globe. Today, we have a very special bonus episode featuring a brand new guest. Today, we are joined by Elena from Exeter Chiefs for Change. So, for any of my listeners who don't know, one of the clubs in the Gallagher Premiership is called Exeter Chiefs. The moniker Chiefs has been with them throughout their entire storied history. But in 1999, they rather confusingly decided to adopt Native American imagery into their brand. They made their logo a Native American chieftain in full headdress. They brought in Big Chief, a tomahawk swinging cartoon-like mascot, introduced their fans to the tomahawk chop, and encouraged things like wearing headdresses at their games. Unsurprisingly, they have come under a lot of fire for this, and many people began calling for them to eliminate their rather heavy-handed cultural appropriation. So much like with Dan Snyder of the Washington, D.C.-based NFL team, ownership of the club was very resistant to making any changes. That was when, in June of 2020, Exeter Chiefs for Change came about. This is an organization of fans of the club who hoped to convince them to change their branding. They used online petitions, they got in touch with Native American groups, and generally did everything they could to encourage change for the better. Incredibly, it worked. So just recently, it was right at the end of January, I think, the club suddenly put out a fantastic video promoting their new direction, adopting the imagery of traditional warriors from their own rich history. And frankly, it's awesome. So I sat down with Elena to talk about the whole process, and it was really an informative chat. FYI, we had some issues with the sound right at the top, so I ended up editing that out. Because of that, you won't hear us do our little introductions, and you'll find we're jumping right in with our discussion of Exeter as a club to be admired, and I think you're going to just really enjoy it. So, all that being said, let's get right to it. So they are a team that's gone from almost nothing to having it all. For me, on the outside, they managed to sort of capture fans' imaginations with that story of sort of doing things the hard way, getting to where they wanted to be through hard work and, you know, just a never say die attitude. That year they took down the Saracens, it felt like a collective sigh of relief for everybody that the evil empire had finally gone down.
Yes, definitely. And that's one of the like great things is like they really have gone from being sort of a small community club to really rising their way up in the Premiership to, you know, winning the Premiership for the first time to then winning in Europe for the first time in the 2020 season. So like that sort of rags to riches story is very much one that is Exeter's story. They really, through kind of a lot of work within the community, investment from local businesses, that real buy-in from the people around them, have really grown into like a multi, you know, million pound club who are achieving really great success.
It's weird though. So from the outside, the narrative seemed to shift very quickly. It was like when the Chiefs took down the Saracens to win the Prem, everyone was like, yay, the ding dong, the witch is dead. And now we have these new people to celebrate. But it seemed very short lived. It seemed like public sentiment turned fairly quickly after that. And I think most of that had to do with their branding. Is that something that you noticed at the time, or how do you think the public opinion sort of changed?
Yeah, I mean, so it's Saracens are kind of the bad guys of the Prem, right? So like they were the kind of unbeatable ones. And actually as a Glasgow fan, they're also our bad guys because they keep knocking us out of Europe, consistently knocking us out of Europe. Keep getting them and they keep knocking us out. Now Exeter are doing that too. But I think, there'd been sort of conversations about Exeter's branding for a long time. I think, you know, when we started formalizing the campaign, you know, when we were looking back to see if anything kind of formal had been sort of done before, there were articles and blogs from different kind of rugby groups and Native Americans living in the UK going back to like 2015, 2016. And then so that conversation was kind of, we saw what was happening in the States, we saw the protests that were happening there, and it was kind of being picked on like, oh, actually the branding in Exeter is very, very, very similar. They're doing the same things. You know, they do the tomahawk chop, you know, they have the headdresses, you know, and if it's such a problem in the States that people are protesting against it, then how is it any different what they're doing here? But maybe there just wasn't that kind of vocal opposition. And then I think as more and more teams in the States started rebranding or, you know, announcing that they were going to retire their branding. So thinking about like the Washington football team, thinking about the kind of ongoing campaign with the Kansas City Chiefs, the Atlanta Braves and so on. I think that conversation, as that conversation grew, so did kind of our awareness of that conversation. But also rugby was trying to break through in America, like trying to break through. And so suddenly you had more people watching rugby here because, you know, we've got really great teams of, you know, in the UK. And so there was then more American voices kind of coming into that conversation of like, actually, it isn't any different.
Interesting.
What Exeter's doing is still wrong. And then, you know, Saracens, as the sort of, I guess, the bad guys of the Prem, you know, then got relegated because of, you know, the salary cap. And so, and everyone's all like, oh yes, Saracens are gone. Woo, you know, hooray. And then it was like, okay, but can we now discuss the elephant in the room?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so yes, yay Exeter, you know, they've done such an amazing job. You know, their links to the community are amazing. They're playing really exciting rugby. You know, they're fab. But can we talk about the thing, the really big thing about them that's really, really awful? And I think, yeah, I mean, like conversations, it then, like, it became something that people would almost like joke about, right? Like, so as I said, you know, Saracens used to always be the ones that would knock Glasgow out of Europe, and now it's Exeter. And I remember, you know, seeing stuff like, you know, I'm a massive rugby fan, but I'm also like an activist, like, I'm one of those like woke lefty snowflakes that you hear about on the news, like that is me. You know, I work for a charity, like I am absolutely one of those people. And, you know, so I've known about it and I've been tweeting about it and I got into trouble tweeting about it. You know, people, extra fans didn't particularly like me and then all of this stuff. And it just slowly started to become like, you know, more and more like in the rugby world, like we know that there's an issue with Exeter. You know, so I remember like we'd be playing Exeter and there'd be like people in sort of the Scottish rugby community who would make like cultural appropriation bingo sheets, like for us traveling to Exeter, like score this off if you hear the tomahawk chop, like there's a bar called, you know, the Mohawk bar, you know, like get a pint here, score that off your bingo sheet. So it became kind of, we were like, oh, everyone became like aware that the branding was not really that cool. And then, so I think it was in 2020, so obviously 2020, the sort of pandemic, obviously one of the things, but also Black Lives Matter really like sort of came back and became massively sort of widespread and everyone was talking about issues of race. And one of the things that happened was that the English Rugby Union wanted to do a review of the fact that English rugby fans sing Swing Low Sweet Chariot. You know, is that an appropriate song for rugby fans to be singing? And actually, how do Black players in the English squad feel about that song being sung?
Yeah.
And so when we kind of saw this, me and my friend Mary, who's also a Glasgow fan and a Black woman, we were like, I think we should get ourselves into a bit of trouble, do some tweeting about this and be like, if English rugby are wanting to look into racism in rugby in England, you can't do that without looking at Exeter Chiefs. Because, you know, I think there was like a great thing of like sort of Black Lives Matter and Not Your Mascot being like movements in solidarity with each other, you know?
Right, right.
And so we were like, well, if this is a conversation that is rightfully being had, then we really ought to be having this conversation about Exeter Chiefs. And we weren't the only people out there being like, if we're now gonna like take accountability for issues of racism in rugby, there's a massive issue here that we need to deal with. And so we and other people had started like tweeting about it, and then it got picked up by a couple of rugby blogs, rugby websites saying, oh, you know, the Exeter issue is back, you know, people are talking about the Exeter issue again. And I think this has gone on for like maybe a week, a couple of weeks, and then we were kind of just like, I think it was Ben Jenkins, who's part of our group, was like, do you know what, actually, I think there's enough of us now to start a campaign group. Because like we'd all like linked in with each other. So I think there was like seven of us at the start. And we were like, I think we've got the people and the commitment. And like, people were on furlough as well. So like, they were like, I'm not doing anything with my day.
Yeah.
I'm not on the extra chiefs. And so, yeah. So like, literally, I think Ben was like, I think enough of us together now, let's set up like a Twitter group let's formalize something, let's start a petition. And so I think we set up the Twitter group. We launched the petition the next day. Over the course of that kind of week, we got up to like 1,000 signatures. We invited another couple of people who we saw being very vocal on Twitter to kind of come and join. And then we realized that we sort of started gaining momentum, and we're like, okay, like this could actually happen. Cause then their extra said they were going to do that initial review back in the summer of 2020. And we're like, okay, maybe we should move off of Twitter. And so we set up a Slack channel, and literally the whole campaign has been ran by us. None of us who knew each other before, with the exception of me and Mary and Ash, who started the petition, and their girlfriends, total strangers. And we've just run this whole campaign using Slack and never met until last weekend.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Now, as you mentioned, we had a very similar thing here with the NFL team in Washington, and their owner, you know, has, to me, he's just doubled down and tripled down on it when they eventually basically said, you have no choice, you're going to change this. His response was, okay, then we're just the Washington football team. Like, he waited, yeah. he made us all wait 2 years to announce a new name. And I'm convinced that was just him sort of sticking his middle finger up, being like, oh, here you go, Wokies. Here's, you know, have fun calling us the professional football team for 2 years.
Yeah.
But from the Chiefs' point of view, do you feel like most of the resistance you encountered was from the ownership, or was it just fans who just don't like the idea of change? You know, if you're used to something and you went out and bought the headdress, you probably think, hey, why am I not allowed to wear this thing anymore? Did you get most, slack back from just fans who were being vocal, or from the ownership themselves who were saying this is not in the cards?
So probably a mixture of both, but it's probably important to say that we had basically little to no communication with the leadership of the club.
That was my impression. I got the impression that they just basically were just zipped it and didn't say anything. Yeah.
So we sort of did the petition. We sent over, when they announced that they were going to have that initial board review, we sent over sort of like a dossier of information that we compiled. We delivered like a printed copy of the petition to Sandy Park, and we know that they were received, but that is the only communication that we ever had with the club. So we didn't know the outcome of the sort of members meeting that they had back in November. We didn't know that they were announcing a rebrand until we saw it on Twitter. So in terms of like the pushback, any communication, Exeter had basically been saying no comment on this issue for years, and we managed to force them to make two statements. You know, the first one in 2020, which was, we're going to retire Big Chief, the sort of
character. I was going to ask about that. When did that come out?
That was 2020. So that was like the first win.
Okay.
That was about 6 weeks after we launched our campaign.
So was that the moment that you thought I've got real hope for this? Like, we can do this?
It was a mixture of like, that's amazing that we've managed to achieve this in such a short amount of time. And also just, are you joking? That's all you're going to do. And like, did you think that this was going to make us go away?
Well, can I ask you about, because they got rid of Big Chief, and there was like a light sigh of relief, I think. But then there was the absolute debacle, Tom O'Hawk.
Oh, my goodness.
It's almost unbelievable. Can you tell my listeners what happened with their, what was he, their mascot for 5 minutes, and then they pretended it never happened? Was that it?
Yeah, basically. So in summer of 2020, obviously middle of the pandemic, there was no spectators allowed in grounds anyway for rugby, even when rugby restarted. You know, we didn't get back to like live sport until last year, really. And for years and years, the Exeter Chiefs mascot was, you know, your cartoon Native American. He had a headdress, he carried a tomahawk, and, you know, he led everyone in the tomahawk shop. The very first victory of the campaign was to get rid of him. And so they were speculating for ages about, you know, what are they going to do for like a mascot? You know, what are they going to get? And then they brought in this kind of like bird of prey in like an Exeter kit, and they were like, here's our new mascot that we absolutely definitely haven't named. And then it was like leaked somewhere that the mascot was called Tomahawk. And we were like, are you joking me?
It honestly does sound like a joke. It sounds like somebody proposed it and they were like, oh yeah, imagine if we did that.
And we still don't know if that was ever true, because someone was like, oh, it was like Tony Rose, like nephew, or someone like a child somehow related to the leadership of Exeter Chiefs who was like, wouldn't it be funny if it was called the Tomahawk? And yeah. And they were like, and then people were like, oh no, it's not. It's just a hawk called Tom. And then they've basically just pretended that never happened. We have no idea what will happen. Like, so when the new branding comes into play, we have no idea what will happen if Tomahawk or Tom, the unknown bird of prey, will remain the mascot or whether he will be retired.
He'll just don a Pictish helmet of some sort.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
It is funny. I only literally in the last few weeks have realized that every premiership team has mascots. They just don't really show them in the broadcast, at least with the versions of the broadcast I see here. And it's only like during what was it? There was a Saracens game 2 weeks ago, and during the starting lineups, they had sort of a wide shot of the field, and I noticed this weird creature out on the field. And I was, so I finally looked it up, and sure enough, they have a camel. What is it?
Yes.
And then I was like, does everybody have that? And sure enough, every single team have mostly uncreatively named mascots.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
Like Sharky the Shark and Sail.
Yeah. I think because the mascots are more to like, for like the kids, maybe, like get the crowd going. You know, it's a fun thing. It's not, it's not like, I haven't seen Glasgow's one in years. I don't know what he's up to. We've got Clyde, named after the River Clyde, which goes through Glasgow. He's a Highland cow. So Clyde the Coo. I've got no idea where he is. I think he was on Glasgow and he never came back. Because I don't know what's happening with him.
Yeah, I've never seen any URC mascot of any kind. Well, actually, no. The South African teams seem to be a little more proud of their mascots, but I've never seen a Scottish mascot of any kind.
And Edinburgh have like a reindeer called Flinty, I think.
Really?
Who hasn't been out in years? Not that I noticed, but then they did some like triumphant return of Flinty. So I don't know. Maybe they did the whole thing like it was a new signing that their mascot was coming back. So I don't know. Maybe that's going to be a thing now.
I'm starting to think I need a whole separate podcast just for the mascots.
I honestly think you do. I think that could be so much fun.
So that was the first thing, getting rid of Big Chief. Then they sort of fumbled about in the dark for a while. And then there was that.
Or maybe, we don't know. Because
that's right. They seemed to fumble about while we were in the dark, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they announced that they were going to have a meeting with their overall membership. I assume that meant like their season ticket holders and their whatever, the people who spend the most money on them.
And no, it's slightly different. So Exeter Chief is a membership body.
Okay.
So they have, I think it's about 100 members. And these are people that have paid to be members of the club. So there's like probably a 10-year waiting list to become a member. So technically the club is owned by the members. And
oh, wow.
Ford and Tony Rowe are accountable to the membership.
Oh, okay. So it was my impression that they were like, okay, we're going to call a meeting with our membership. They're probably going to agree with us. And that way we can turn around and say, hey, everybody, leave us alone. We all feel the same way. And then that did not go that way. The members were overwhelmingly you know what? Maybe it's time for a change.
It backfired spectacularly. Yeah.
And so that caused the ownership to sort of say, oh, okay, well, we're thinking about it and we'll probably take that under advisement. And then they kind of hemmed and hawed. And I think that was I heard.
We have no idea because they didn't release a statement. They didn't release a statement. They literally were like, yes, so a meeting happened, but we've got no further comment to make.
So weird.
I know. And then about 2 or 3 hours after that statement, which was basically, we will not be saying anything else, there's a journalist in the UK whose name is Robert Kitson. And he wrote a book about, and I'm like totally plugging this guy's book, but anyway, he wrote a book about Exeter and about their rise, you know, from a very small community club to like the fantastic club that they are now. And so he had an article in The Guardian saying that the members were overwhelmingly in favor of change. And so there's no way that someone at Exeter hadn't told him that. There's okay. no way he would have reported on that if Tony hadn't been like, yeah, okay, like you can do the article. So we were like, okay, so I think we won. And then they made us wait like, I don't know, 3 months. And then they just tweeted that really amazing video, you know, yeah. branding. But it was like, what? What? I was in a meeting at work and my Slack started going mad. And I was like, oh, what's happened? What's happened? I was like, oh, they've rebranded. That's a surprise.
It was so out of the blue. It's weird too, because you'd almost think there should have been lead up, like they would want, you'd think, to sort of take some credit, like, hey, look, everybody, you yeah. asked us for change and we listened, and coming soon is going to be our big announcement. And they went yeah. right, they skipped all that when they could have, like, they probably could have drummed up some good press for themselves and maybe created some anticipation. And yeah, I mean, and not going to complain, but.
No, I know. That's the thing. Like, that's what we've all been like. We've like, we don't want to complain, but actually, you know, all of this time, like, we really wanted to run, like, in the early days of the campaign, there was a lot of arguing and horrible conversations and name calling and, you know, people were so emotional about it. And we were like, this isn't sustainable. Like, we can't run a campaign based on fighting all the time. So we really, like, when it, like, after Big Chief was retired, and we were like, okay, so now we need to step back, because actually we're in it for the long haul now. Hopefully not as long as it took Washington, but we are now in this for the long haul. So we really wanted to build a very positive campaign, a campaign that was based on the opportunity to engage with the community, to have a branding that truly is reflective of Exeter, of the history of Devon, that really engages people in their local history, and, you know, and also isn't all of the bad things that it is and all of the bad things that this kind of branding does and is proven to do to Indigenous communities. And it was around that time that we then linked up with the group Natives in the UK. So that's how we met Leandra and Tony and Steph and Nick, and all, you know, we did that Q&A session with them right back at the start. And so we very much had kind of like the two sort of things of the campaign, which were, one, it was about that educational piece about actually why this is so damaging to Indigenous communities, but also that wouldn't it be so great if we could do something really good for our club and have a club that's truly, you know, reflective of its greatness and everything that it does, that there isn't the, oh, Exeter are a great team, but what about that branding though? You know, Exeter are such a great community club, shame about the branding, you know? So we really tried to sort of have that. And, you know, we'd been saying along, and it's quite funny now, like on our website, we've got this page, which is called The Drawing Board, right? And it was like made up of all of these sort of artists who had, because we had sort of said, you know, actually, because Chiefs is a historical name for the club, like they just need to, they don't even have to drop the Chiefs. They can just, you know, go for a local chief, a different chief. And so like, based on that idea, we had artists sending in their own like impressions, and all of them were based on like, you know, this Iron Age chief, and like suddenly they did it. And we were like, that's great. But also it's quite funny scrolling through that page, because it's like, have they just gone onto our drawing board? Have they just sent the link to a designer and said, just something based on this, please? Because like literally like so many just like heads in the helmets, you know, sort of side profile. Not that, of course, that we get any credit for that at all, or have even been mentioned in any of the official communication. Of course. But yeah, we know that we put the idea there.
So do you feel like with the fans and the people who were especially combative on Twitter, for instance, do you think you have managed to change minds, or do you think people are like, oh, screw it, I give up?
Probably a mix of the two. So I think... there were sort of, yeah, I mean, there were some people whose minds you're never going to change. And we accept that, you know, for what they think that we're just, and I am, you know, but you know, woke, snowflake, social justice warriors who are just looking for a target and just want to rip down the evil, the great British Empire and whatever. Obviously, that's 100% who I am, but not reflective of everyone in the group, of course. But they, yeah, I think so. Those people were never going to change their mind, were really upset and angry at the club to caving to our demands and you know, adhering to cancel culture and all of this stuff that we see banded about. But a significant number of, you know, fans as well were like, maybe we shouldn't have this branding. You know, maybe they did, you know, so I think of people like Chris Bentley, who is a former Exeter player who worked for the club in like corporate, who did an interview in The Guardian talking about how, you know, back in the early days of the branding, he would teach people how to do the tomahawk chop. And, you know, because this was about thing. It was about building the fan base around his branding and getting people excited about rugby and that, like, the very start of Exeter's growth. And he was one of the people who at the start was very much like, you know, this is never going to change. It doesn't need to change. But, and he's done kind of like a total 180 on that based on his own research. And so, you know, so there's people like that who have sort of read resources and done their own thing and understood a bit more about where the whole Not Your Mascot campaign is coming from. And, you know, so that's, you know, if he's one person out there who's quite open about it, then there's other people like him. But then I do have to say that in those later days, there was a like, we're just gonna wear them down. We're gonna wear, like, this is now our tactic. We're gonna wear them down until the only choice they have is to rebrand because they're so sick of us. So there's definitely some people who didn't think that we should change, but are delighted that the argument is over, are excited that there's a new brand, which means new merch, which means, you know, and it means the end of this conversation. So it was like a mix of like some people who think we're the worst people to ever exist and think that we should be financially responsible for the cost of the rebrand and should be banned from Sandy Park, and then other people who are, you know, glad that it's changed because this conversation's over. I think there was a shift in attitude, some for, you know, they now agree that it's time to have moved on from that branding, and some because they're just delighted that it means we'll finally shut up.
Well, and the new branding is really good. Like the video they created around it, like I was really hyped up. I think ultimately people will probably be happy with it. I think it's a much cooler logo in a way.
It's a cooler logo. It really started a conversation about like the history of the area. I really wish I'd like practiced the word, the tribe, the name of the tribe. It's like the Dumnonii. I think I might have actually nailed that on the first go. So, you know, like people like learning about that, the history of the area and learning about the tribes that were there. And that's like cool. That's quite exciting, you know, to have something that is so reflective of the area. And I think that the video did such a great job of that, about really thinking about the history of the club and like actually the history of the club is being called the Chiefs, right?
Right.
But actually, how do we merge that history in a way that is A, not offensive and harmful to like a group of, you know, marginalized people, and is celebrating your history and celebrating your community.
It does seem like a double win to me.
It does. It's just like a no-brainer, right? Which is why I'm so glad they've done it. So glad they've done it. And I think it shouldn't have taken this long, but I think given we probably did the whole campaign in about, I don't know, 20 months probably from conception to rebranding, I'd say that's a pretty good win. Pretty good. Yeah. Thinking how long it's taken some of the other teams. I mean, Kansas still haven't changed. Atlanta still haven't changed. So, you know, that those campaigns are ongoing.
Yeah. What was I just going to ask? I totally lost my train of thought there. Sorry. But, and this might be completely off the wall, but like I mentioned early on, like I think most people expected Exeter to be right at the top of the league again this year. They seemingly have the talent. They should be up there. Right now they're sitting at seventh. Even Sale, who started the season pretty poorly, are ahead of them now. I theorized on this pod that maybe it's a little bit of the stink of all this nonsense going on. So it's completely quasi-mystical nonsense, I'm sure, that like, you know, the obstinacy of the ownership would somehow influence the players' performance. But is it possible, like the players have to be aware there's this controversy, they have to be aware that their employer has really stuck his feet in the mud and said, no, I don't care about this, I'm not changing. Is it possible that it had an effect on performance of the club?
I mean, I'm not sure. I think, you know, well, certainly people have put that on us, that we need to stop because we're affecting the performance of the club. I mean, we've been blamed for literally everything. There was a totally wild one the other day. I can't remember what it was. I'll find it, where someone blamed us for something. We're like, what? How is that awful? I think, I mean, yeah, it's impossible. You know, no one exists in a vacuum. And it's impossible to have played for the club and not be aware of the conversations that are happening about the club and about the identity.
Yeah, it seems like it's just in their personal lives, more and more, it's likely that somebody would say, hey, by the way, what do you think about this? And suddenly it's the conversation they're forced to have. And maybe and you know how players are, I'm sure a lot of them took the line like, I'm not a politician. I just want to play rugby. It's none of my business. But when the conversation becomes that loud, you kind of can't ignore it.
Yeah, I've actually found it. They were upset, but they thought it was our fault because there was a debate over whether a tackle was dangerous or not. So this was a whole conversation, and suddenly it was, this isn't controversial, it's just the pros, same idiots that made a fuss about our logo. we're just out here trying to live. We're just out here... We're just one of the same things as you do, guys. We just want to watch the rugby, have some beers, you know, watch our teams win, like, and also play, but also player welfare is really important. But no, that wasn't us. Whatever it was, wasn't
us. Well, it sounds like a challenge. Now that could be next.
Maybe.
So when is the new branding set to, are they sort of making this big changeover in the summer during the off season? Yes. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah. So July, so that, cause you're not allowed to change the branding mid season.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it will be, July. So due to end, I think the premiership final is in June. So yeah, once that's all done and dusted, they'll start the whole thing. And hopefully, you know, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet. You know, they've announced the new logo. Obviously, they've not said anything since then.
Right.
But there
I think they've mentioned a couple of times how much it's going to cost them.
Yeah, many a times. Although there is an interview with Tony Rowe from last year where he says money isn't an issue. If the members tell us we have to change, then we'll change. So I like to bring that one out every time someone says, I hope you're going to be donating £500,000 to Exeter Chiefs. We didn't then mention all of the kind of profiteering that they've made off the back of Indigenous imagery, and maybe they should be doing some kind of donation or apology. But that's neither here nor there. Yes, so we know that there's going to be a new logo. So the new logo will obviously go on all of the sort of kits and the flags and everything and the side of the building where the logo is. So I imagine, like, because they're kits now, there's always kind of like Indigenous like artwork kind of things kind of on, like the patterns are very kind of in line with the logo and all of that imagery, so I imagine it'll be similar. There'll be more kind of Iron Age style kind of patterns on the kits and stuff, but there's a number of things, you know, at Sandy Park itself, you know, what they're gonna change. So they'll have to change the names of all the bars if they are gonna do the full thing and like ditch all of the imagery. You know, all of the bars are called like the Cherokee Bar, the Mohawk Bar.
I mean, will that be up to them though, or are those separate businesses that will?
No, you know... So they're bars in the ground.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah, so they're like, I guess they're more like trucks, really. But like,
but as a part, of their official facility.
It's in the official facilities, yeah. So they've got that. There's also, you know, their online website is called the Trading Post. You know, is that going to change? Mm. Are they still going to play the tomahawk chop over the tannoy when people score tries, when they come out onto the pitch? They've got like totem poles and loads of sort of totem carvings and things like in their sort of reception area. There's a lot of, you know, like Indigenous artworks and or like, you know, fake Indigenous artworks and things, you know, that all going to change. So there's a lot of sort of questions still to come. You know, I think with the tomahawk chop, obviously, you know, it take to change fan behavior will be much more difficult, but the club could, you know, help by not, you know, playing the tomahawk chop.
Right.
You know, we've had some people discussions of like, oh, well, we'll just rename it. We'll call it the Exeter Chop. And that, you know, like obviously that it's still the tomahawk chop. They're like, oh,
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Although they're saying, oh, we won't, it won't be the tomahawk chop because we're just going to sing Exeter to the same tune. We're like, no, the tomahawk chop.
Oh man.
So I think, you know, while the logo and the bar names and things will change, I think, you know, there'll still be potentially a bit of a longer kind of journey in terms of getting rid of stuff like the tomahawk chop because that's their chant. You know, it's done as difficult if you don't have another chant because you want to like cheer and support your team. So there's going to need to be some work to like come up with a new chant that's definitely not the tomahawk chop or a variation thereof. So I think, you know, that's something that will be ongoing.
So when something like this happens and there is a major rebranding, as you say, there's going to be some people who just don't like the idea of change at all. There's going to be people who are just like, I like it the way it is. Why are you telling me it has to be different? Mm. But it does eventually move the general opinion. Do you think, you know, in a couple of years, if a fan shows up to see the Chiefs play and comes wearing a headdress, for instance, will it be that somebody has to be like, hey, you take that off right now? Or will it be more like, everyone in this stadium is going to know that you look like kind of an idiot right now, and so we're going to let you just feel like that?
So I think, I think it'll be more like the second. I mean, personally, I would love to see Exeter, you know, ban them. Mm. I think that's very, very unlikely. But I do think that, you know, if a couple of seasons down the line, you know, they've got this new branding, I think we will see people in helmets and things like that. I think they'll move more towards that. And I think the thing is, it's like, if you're going to start getting new fans, you know, in that time, people are going to be like, why is that idiot wearing a headdress? No, because headdresses in the UK, you know, they're banned from a lot of like major music festivals and things. So like, you can't wear them to Glastonbury. So because it is widely accepted that it's not okay to wear headdresses.
Oh, wow.
You're an Exeter fan. And, you know, people are called out on it. And, you know, if people are wearing them in music videos and things or... So for example, Glastonbury, which is like, you know, one of the biggest festivals in the UK, you are not allowed to wear them.
I never knew that. I think it was actually Glasgow Warriors who they issued a statement before playing Exeter, and they said, you know, please, if you want to come, but please leave your stupid headdresses at home.
And so did Wasps and so did Bath.
Oh, that's good. I think Glasgow were first, though, I'm pretty sure.
Wasps were first, then Bath. Then
Glasgow. That's right. That's right. Yep.
Yep.
Did it work? Actually, I heard that had happened ahead of time, and then I never heard anyone say yes, and that kept them away.
So I didn't end up going to the Exeter game because my partner had COVID. But from what I know, there was no headdresses worn. I know that they did try and sing the tomahawk chop, which they were also asked not to do, but were booed for doing so.
Nice.
But apparently it wasn't bad because they were singing the words Exeter to the tune of the tomahawk chop.
Problem solved. So will this be a celebration for you? Or are you going to go see them this year? Or maybe are you going to save it for the beginning of next season and show up for that first day of the new brand?
Well, we are considering that. We did think about, everyone getting down and going together. So we had like a celebration last weekend, which everyone was meant to be at, but then there was like massive storms. And so only five of us managed to be there. It took me 12 hours to get to Exeter. So much fun. And then I ended up having to fly back because I literally couldn't leave Devon by any other way.
Wow.
the storm was not great. So we're planning like another kind of reunion in summer where hopefully everyone can get together. We're considering going to a game together with the new branding, and I know that there will be a lot of merchandise being bought by the Exeter fans in the group.
Definitely
excited. They're like, I'm gonna like start saving now for when all of the new merch comes.
Wow. It's funny too, it's a weird question, but is the old merchandise going to become more valuable when it suddenly becomes unavailable? I worry that people will be like, ooh, you know.
It's really interesting because, I don't really know. I mean, Glasgow Warriors rebranded not because of any controversy, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that the old kit has any more value now than the new kit does.
I have to say, I'm still a little dicey on the new Glasgow Warrior guy. It's so clearly Yosemite Sam that it's hard to take it very seriously.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think, you know, when the air is cleared at the end of the day, it's just a logo change.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that logo isn't really going to go anywhere. You know, we you can't expect all the fans to buy new merchandise and stuff like that. So I think we'll still see that logo for a while yet.
It is funny. In rugby, there's this extra pressure to have the most current kit because of the changing sponsors and stuff. And I've noticed the tendency of people be like, oh, he still got the blah, blah, blah logo. Yeah. That must be from 3 years ago. Like, because American teams don't have that major sponsor right smack dab in the middle of the chest, you could pretty much get one jersey and keep it for 10 years. And
So, yeah, so I think there will be, there will be like a lot of new kit next season, because I think, you know, some people haven't been buying kit. And anyway, who doesn't love new kit, new logo, you know, new branding? It's fun. You're going to get the shirt to match your new helmet that you're going to be wearing to the games. So I think, you'll still see that shirt around for a while, but I suspect it will only be on fans.
With the new logo and the new helmet and stuff, it occurs to me KFC might be a great sponsor for them, because they could do the bucket head thing and you just use the KFC buckets for the helmets.
I think, well, that's an interesting thing about the sponsors as well, because Exeter is like primarily sponsored by local businesses. So like, you'll notice that like a lot of the other teams, like Saracens, for example, you know, have these like really big, like global sponsors, but Exeter is like really sponsored by very like local businesses. Some of whom might also be owned by Tony Rowe, the owner of Exeter. You know, that's a whole conversation to be had about, you know, the power behind Exeter Chiefs. But yes, I think it'll be interesting. You know, there's that conversation of like, you know, they were literally pitching on Twitter, like, does anyone want to be our shirt sponsor? You know, and given that was a team who 6 months earlier, you know, won in Europe and won the Premiership, you know, they shouldn't be hawking for sponsors on Twitter.
Wasn't that in a way because of your organization and the conversation that had been started? It felt like when the time came for a new sponsor, the people who would normally be lining up were like, actually, we're going to wait until you tell us maybe something new here.
So I think, so hopefully that will make Exeter more, you know, I've forgotten the word, attractive to, you know, potential larger sponsors, because I don't know if you've seen, like, while watching the game today, X-Kit, like, there's a lot of sponsors on there. And they're all like small local businesses, which is great, you know, because it really shows how much a part of the community they are. But it's also nice to have bigger sponsors.
So thank you again so much for joining me today. I really appreciate the time. I really appreciate all the hard work you and the others did to make this happen. I sent you a message that day when that video came out with their new branding. I was just blown away. It felt like the first real sort of ray of sunshine piece of good news I had heard in just a long time, and just blew me away. It was fantastic. And you just must be so happy and so proud of the hard work you've done.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And, you know, yes, so proud of everything we've done and, you know, pulled together, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, using literally Google and Slack, you know, and a couple of Zoom calls. But also it was just the right thing to do, you know, and I'm glad it didn't take longer than it did to get there. But, you know, for everyone who had been sort of campaigning alongside us, so thinking about, you know, the people in the Natives in the UK group, anything that we can do that makes the UK a slightly nicer place to live for marginalized people is so important. That's the snowflake warrior in me coming out to play there.
Well, it's funny because people always love to accuse people like me as well. Like, you know, if you seem like you make a point of pointing out things that are offensive, they assume that means you're very, very upset. Like, people always sort of call us hand-wringing and, oh, you're getting your panties in a bunch and all that. And I'm like, I'm not wringing my hands about this.
I know.
I'm just pointing it out. it's you guys who are wringing your hands and getting upset.
Like, why are you so offended? I was like, I'm not actually offended. Like, I know you, but I'm actually not offended. I'm pointing out that actually this is really damaging and offensive to a, like, already, like, very marginalized group of people. Yeah. I personally, I'm not sitting crying. I know that's what you think I'm doing. I'm just trying to make the world a slightly nicer place.
And I feel like that's where the confusion is. You can describe something as being offensive without actively being like, oh no, about it.
I know. I don't like faint every time I pass something that's like mildly not woke. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm sorry that I just don't want people to be unhappy. Like, I don't see why this is such a bad thing.
Well, this was incredible news. As I said, thank you so much for joining me just to talk about it and share this story with my listeners as well. It's hard to find hardcore rugby fans in the United States. And so it's very likely that people had never even heard of this whole thing.
No, I know. Well, here we are. Yeah, thanks for having me. This is the story of Exeter Chiefs. They've not got an offensive brand anymore. So yeah, go and support them. That'd be great. But also support Glasgow Warriors.
And I do have to ask, as a Scottish person, are you feeling okay today? Did you have to maybe?
Yesterday was not a good day.
Yesterday was terrible.
Do you know, being a Scotland fan is actually the worst. Every year we go into the Six Nations because we've got such a good team right now. We've got the best team that we have had in such a long time. And every year we go into the Six Nations, we're like, this is it. This is the year. We're going to win the Six Nations, you know, not get a grand slam because, you know, let's just, you know, reel that in a bit.
Right. First things first.
Win the Six Nations. Or, you know, we might even come like second, you know. And then we had that first win against England and we're like, yes, it's going to happen. And then we played Wales. We're like, oh, God. And then yesterday happened and the dream is dead. The dream is dead. I don't know why we get our hopes up every single year.
Wales felt winnable.
Yeah.
France did not.
I mean, you know, the French team are incredible and I would not be surprised at all if they were to go on and win the World Cup next year. But brutal day to be a Scotland fan, I have to say. It's difficult because you're like almost in awe of how incredible France are, but also as the prize just kept rolling in, I didn't even enjoy the fact that it was players in my fantasy team scoring.
I've been predicting here that France will win their home World Cup for sure. I also said nobody's winning a Grand Slam this year, and now I think I might be super wrong about that.
I'm not sure. Only Ireland, I think, could beat France.
I think so too. And France look like they keep getting better too. Like you see them 1 week and you're like, wow, they're incredible. And then next week they're better. It's like frightening.
Yesterday was a masterclass.
They were so good. And
so good.
Dupont, when he at one point started way back in his own territory and it turned into a try, mostly because of his footwork, but then he also put out that vicious fend.
I know.
And it just doesn't look like a guy that size should be that strong.
He is the most, he's quite something really, isn't he? He's very, very special. I really wish he had a Scottish grandmother because we would take
exactly.
him. We would take him. But sadly, it's not to be. But my God, yesterday was miserable.
Well, I follow tons of leagues, and I've complained about it here a lot. In the United States, you can't watch the top 14. I just have no way to watch the French league at all. Oh. And it must be so exciting. Like
it's on. So you can you not access Premier Sports?
Nope.
Oh. That's really irritating.
Yeah. There's people have said, oh, just go on YouTube and stuff. But like hunting for matches on YouTube is a nightmare. Yeah. And even when you do find it, it's likely that the title will have the final score in it. And you're
There we go. That's that. Yeah. Yeah. We try and watch a bit because, you know, we've got Finn Russell who plays for
exactly. Russell. I wish I could see him more than once every Six Nations.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always exciting because he played at Glasgow Warriors as well, of course. And so it's always exciting to watch him and be like, is it going to be genius? Is it going to be dreadful? Not sure.
We'll see how it goes. Well, but just recently there was this talk, somebody like put out a rumor that Stuart Hogg was going to be leaving Exeter. And then he came out and so vehemently denied but also issued that vague statement about, I am absolutely committed till the end of my contract, which is up in like 3 months. Which immediately made everyone speculate he's definitely out of there.
I don't know. I think I think he could do well in France. I think, you know, that's the thing, like we won the league, you know, with a team with Finn Russell and Stuart Hogg and Johnny Gray, and that was the last time we won the league. But they have become better players since leaving Glasgow. You know, I will give them that. You know, it has been amazing to see that development and see their growth on the kind of international stage. It was a little bit sad because, you know, they're sort of like born and bred in Glasgow. You know, they rose up through Glasgow and, you know, it's sad to see them go, but it is, you know, the better for them as players. And I can't wait till they come back to retire at Glasgow.
Exactly. Well, I've heard people speculating that that Stewie will end up playing at Racing with Finn, which I think is probably just wouldn't that be nice kind of hope? But on one hand, I'm like, oh, that'll be great. On the other hand, that means I'll never see them.
That's it. They're gone. It's just Scotland.
Well, as I say, Elena, thank you so much for your time. You've carved out an hour of your busy schedule to talk to me today, and I really appreciate it. It's been fantastic. Congratulations on the success of this campaign. This 20 months, you've absorbed a lot of abuse and a lot of flack coming your way, and something actually positive came out of it. A real big positive change actually has happened, and we're about to see the fruits of that.
It was worth every single person I had to block. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, if people want to find out more about what we did, you know, we've got our website, which is just extrachiefsforchange.org. And yeah, you can find out more about the history of the campaign, because the campaign is now done. And
Well, naturally, I'll be linking your website and anything else I can find in my show notes. And I'm probably also going to, try to find something about Exeter and its own history and stuff like that. Because this is a great club that I want to see be a club that I feel good rooting for.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Well, I'm going to let you go. Thank you again so much for joining the Scrum of the Earth today. I hope to talk to you soon. And your Warriors are ahead of Edinburgh now on the URC table. So I wish them a lot of success this year too.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, my friends, that does it for this very special bonus pod. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Get in touch with me whenever and however you'd like. I'm on Twitter @ofscrum. I'm on Instagram @thescrumoftheearthpodcast. And you can always just send an email to thescrumoftheearth@gmail.com. It's always great to hear from you, so please do. Everybody, once again, thank you all for listening all over the world. Cheers. Talk to you soon. And be well.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.